You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions expressed can sometimes be accompanied by hand gestures, which your sister may find offensive, but you think are hilarious. There's one in every family. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at
1-866-740-4740.
Whoa, that's a solid one, Al.
I'm so confused. Because we got live television going on and we got live radio going on, and
this is weird.
TikTok.
Yeah. So we, and if you're following along and you have TikTok, we are live on TikTok with Sergeant Kerry Schmidt from the OPP.
OPP Highway Safety Division. Check it out. We're having all kinds of fun on that.
Exactly. We were talking in the green room beforehand about, you know, the dumb stuff that people do, eh? And even when, like you said, even when you're behind them in a police cruiser, they still do dumb stuff.
Oh, my goodness. So you have no shortage of idiots. So what can we call these people?
We can't call them idiots.
We can?
We shouldn't.
We should. Okay, no.
Maybe they're just negligent in using their rearview mirror.
Your mirrors.
How about they need to be educated?
Oh, well, I'm working on that. We're all working on that.
That's right.
You know, everyone thinks they know what they're doing, but it seems they forget once they get into the driver's seat.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, crazy. I mean, when we grew up, for the most part, it was our parents that taught us, or friends taught us how to drive. But for the last 25 years, it's been, no, you have to go to car driving school.
Yeah.
Okay. So my assumption is, so they learn stuff at the driving school because these are professional teachers that we never knew. You know, because our parents didn't know.
Well, you learn on the farm truck, on the fields, driving around the back 40, you know, driving the big tandem. And, hey, driving big trucks, it's a little different driving the grain truck than it is driving the motorcycle or the car down the highway.
Well, this is the thing. What I don't appreciate is when truck drivers, some large steak trucks or whatever, drive like they're driving their little daily driver. That's scary.
I have seen dump trucks, transport trucks, B trains, you know, going through traffic, weaving through lanes, unbelievable.
Yeah.
The speeds, and you know, I've seen the outcome when they wreck. We had a wreck yesterday. Guy cut off by another vehicle, failed to remain. He jackknifed, lost his diesel all across the 401.
Oh.
It was shut down for most of the afternoon yesterday through Mississauga, and you know, no shortage of that, and yet the roads are still dry and fine. We had lots of fog last week.
Yes.
That makes things challenging, and we got cars driving around with no lights on. We got people looking at their cell phones and really no awareness of what they should be doing when they're driving their vehicles.
Oh. Well, because it's a secondary kind of thing.
Yeah. The phone and the coffee are more important sometimes.
No, I will never forget. It's got to be 20 years ago now where I'm sitting at a light and the light changed and the person didn't go.
Yeah.
So I got on the horn and the lady stuck her head out the window and said, "Excuse me, I'm on my phone." And it was like, it was my fault for bothering her.
Well,
yeah.
I remember when cell phones were kind of still a new thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm dating myself. It was not illegal to have a cell phone in your hands, and
yes,
people were up there all over the place.
That's right.
You know, that's changed, and now the penalties have gone up. The fines have gone up. License suspensions are included with convictions.
Yes.
And yet, you know, again, we are very connected to our phones and to our social networks and so on. But when you're driving your vehicle, my goodness, you've got to have your eyes on the wheel and eyes on the road in front of you, behind you, around you, everywhere.
All right. And we got your buddy on.
Well, you know, speaking of people who know how to drive, we have Mark Wilkins.
Yeah.
And he is a professional racing driver. He races Hyundai Elantra TCRs in the United States for Brian Herta Autosport. So he's a pal of mine. And he's doing a cool charity event in January. So we're going to talk about that later in the show.
All right, super. If you've got a question or a query or a comment, by all means, call 1-866-740-4740. Again, 1-866-740-4740. We have the officer right here to answer any and all those questions. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max here in studio with Alan Gelman and Sergeant Kerry Schmidt from the OPP. Have to mention one thing. Go to davescornergarage.com for your chance to enter to win a set of Triangle tires and a crown application. And still, my favorite part of this prize is that Al is installing your tires personally for us.
Awesome. I am. As a matter of fact, I got whacked the other day. I'm black and blue. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
What happened?
Getting old. Who can remember?
Falling apart here.
Yeah, that's a question. I mean, as much as the fines are crazy, and you lose your license, and you don't lose your license, but you lose your opportunity to drive for 3 days, correct?
Distracted driving upon conviction of being distracted for a cell phone, mobile, handheld communication device, you will get an automatic 3-day license suspension, and that license will not be reinstated until you pay your reinstatement fee. So by default, you got your 3-day, but make sure you're actually licensed by paying the extra fine. So it's not just the $490 at the from the ticket, it's also the reinstatement, and then who knows what your insurance company is going to think about your fact that you're driving around with your phone in your hand.
So. Now, is that you just speculating, or do you know that if they see that, they're going to whack you?
Well, I'm just speculating. Okay. I don't know what their profile is, but I know from speaking to other people that have had those challenges that their insurance premiums have been spiked, even for a simple 15 over, even for a minor violation, if you want to call it a minor.
It's not a moving violation. Because I know on moving violations, your insurance does care.
Yeah. Well, it is a moving violation.
It is a moving violation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Drive while operating a handheld communication device. If you're driving, if you're parked, hey, have at her. You can do whatever you want on your phone. But if you're in your vehicle and you're cooking down the road here, you got the phone in your hand, the offense has been committed. So there's a lot of nuances and lots of different things about whether or not it's mounted properly, securely. You know, if it's sitting in your lap and you're not using it, you could still be technically charged for a lot of different variations of what the officer sees you doing or using or holding a handheld communication device.
Mm-hmm. All right, the phone calls, the phone numbers in the studio today are 1-866-744-7440. Again, 1-866-744-7440. We got Sergeant.
Ooh,
Sergeant Kerry Schmidt. I should look at, three stripes. I see him on the shoulder.
I was speaking to our other police friend.
Yes.
PC Sean Shapiro this morning.
Yeah. Yes. Cool.
And, of course, you know, he's got lots of things to say. I suggested he call in, but we'll see if he does.
Oh, all right.
Yes. All right. Well, we do have a caller online. We've got Ron, who's got a specific question to Kerry. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm on my Bluetooth, but even though I'm on my Bluetooth, I don't talk while I'm driving.
Okay, and I hope you're not in the left-hand lane for sure.
Yeah. Don't wreck.
No, I'm on Highway 7, just east of Peterborough. So, anyway, I retired from Greyhound. I drove for Great Coach Greyhound for 20 years. I'm still driving a school bus, and but to me, defensive driving, it boils down to two words, and that's if you keep in the back of your mind, what if? What if somebody does something wrong, and I've taught my son the same thing, it's just something you have to live with, that if you're always conscious of what if somebody did something wrong.
Yeah.
That's my definition. It boils down to two words.
Do you know what? I love that idea, because what if, I wish everyone could join me on a ride along on a day in the life of, because all these what ifs are the what actually happened when I'm going to these wrecks and you see these fender benders. I was driving along the 401 yesterday, and all of a sudden I hear crunching metal beside me. And I was in the right lane, and I was moving along at probably 60 or 70 kilometers an hour, and the left lane came to a dead stop, and all of a sudden, boom, and it was crunch, 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 and three or four vehicles involved, multiple crashes. You know, these are the what-ifs. The what-ifs actually happen. This is you may think it's a lottery that it'll never happen to me, but you never win, but you know what? Talk to these people involved in these wrecks. No one ever thinks they're going to be the ones involved in a wreck. And what if? Well, I'll tell you, these what ifs are really happening.
Exactly. You're riding a bicycle, and all of a sudden, what if the driver opened their door? Well, bingo, you're nailed.
Yeah.
You know, or what if you watch these guys on motorcycles cutting between the lanes. Well, same thing.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah. We spoke about this earlier when we had our friend Moto Man on the show in the summer. We were out driving on the 401 and traffic was slowing down. I'm in the passenger seat. We're in the left lane on the 401 eastbound Mississauga area near the airport-ish. And I hear a motorcycle approaching. I'm like, oh, yeah, I bet you he's lane splitting. And, of course, goes by us at a massive speed differential because we're maybe doing 30, 40. And 10 seconds later, traffic comes to a dead stop. Yep. We get there. He tagged a car that was changing lanes and helmet ejected. Bike was long gone. Wheels were no longer attached to the bike. So I tell the story because the gentleman survived. But the most humiliating thing was the gentleman was on the side of the road with his pants around his ankles at the end of this crash. But he did survive.
Well, do you know what? I have all kinds of dash cam. We get these calls coming in, and I've seen motorcyclists ripping through lane splitting. And the fact is, I see these videos, and I know 10 seconds after this video played, the rider was dead. And we did
that's
testing.
No good.
Yeah.
Bummer.
That's no good.
No, terrible. I wondered about those guys. They're so fast. You can't catch them in a cruiser, but the radio works, eh?
Radio works, but you know what? Sometimes the laws of physics always work, and sometimes they're not going to get away, and you think you're in charge, and these guys are large and in charge until something bad happens, and you have no escape route, and all of a sudden now you're lying on the ground, you know, fighting for your life.
Absolutely. You know, you get a flat, you hit a wet spot, you're done. Yeah. All right, we got to go. Again, the phone numbers to the studio are 1-866-740-4740. That's 1-866-740-4740. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Sergeant Kerry Schmidt from the OPP. Super famous on TikTok now.
No.
That's what I hear. Yeah. That's what I hear. So we've got some calls for Kerry, do we?
We do. Our operator Carlos is just setting him up right now. But cool. Just so people know that we have rules and laws pertaining to proper broadcasting here, so you're getting some weird people on the internet, eh?
No, there's no weird people online. No. We're all good. Hey, yes. We might have a few haters once in a while, but I hope people are having some fun. I love to connect and engage with audiences, you know, in person. We're actually getting back into in-person events. I'm going to another event after we're done here this morning, and online as well. Hey, I love to have chats, and you know, I've had some really, I wouldn't say they're strong or heated, but they're very, very engaging conversations. And at the end of it, we may agree to disagree because the rules of the road apply and we interpret them in a way that is required by law.
Right.
Now, people may not agree with the law, but, that's our job. Our job is law enforcement, and the law states as it is. We're not here to change legislation. The government does that. We enforce the rules of the road. If you have a problem with the law, you talk to your talk to the ministry, talk to your local MPP.
Well, the nice thing is, I mean, you do have a little bit of discretion. I mean, my wife happened to mention once that she was talking on the phone and she was sitting still, so she figured, well, I'm sitting at the light anyways, and a cruiser pulled up beside her, and all the guy did was motion to get off your phone.
Yep.
So, which she was very thankful.
Well, we use education like we're doing right now. We can use discretion. And, of course, there's always going to be the enforcement access as well. So, one day you may be tagged for something. Other times you may be
let go
and on your way. So hopefully our presence, changes driver behavior around us. I've seen people doing some pretty crazy things. My police car maybe isn't what a traditional police car looks like. but hey, it works for me. And it's got lights on. It's got a siren on it. And sometimes people think I'm a contractor heading to the job site. But, it shouldn't matter. And I've talked to I've had drivers in front of me, beside me, that are doing stupid things, and they'd say, well, I didn't realize you were a police officer. It shouldn't matter.
No, that doesn't matter.
I did that. I did that.
I generally try to avoid conversations with police officers. That's what I do.
All right. We've got Tony on the line. He's got a question. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
All right, go ahead. You got a question for us?
Well, I have a very quick one. It's, I think driving on 401 is very, very dangerous and hectic and nervous because there are people, driving so crazy. They just cut you in and then When I see a case like this, can I call up the OPP, or I gonna stop somewhere? No. What should I do?
Well, sorry, when they're doing the like, I'm not sure exactly what that is, but that sounds like it's something that's dangerous.
Come into the right lane and then go back to the left lane.
Yeah, yeah.
And then go back to the right lane.
You know what? Lane discipline is one of my pet peeves. We've talked about this in the past. And if you are making a 911 call, you are allowed to make that call while you're driving. We would prefer your passenger make that call, or you pull over someplace safe and stop and make that call. But you are legally allowed to call 911 in case of emergency. Drunk driver, dangerous driver, aggressive driver, and you can make that call. Star OPP on your phone puts you right in contact to our communication center, and they will take that information and dispatch officers to whatever the concern is.
All right, you good with that, Tony? All right, I guess he's bothered by it. I mean, you know, we were talked about people driving aggressively, and of course, you right away talked about that euphemism for the left lane bandit.
Yeah,
and which really ticks people off, which
it does.
Generates more of this crazy driving. So, what do you do if someone's in the left lane and?
Well,
they don't want to move.
You know what? And I posted that on a video I just did. And what do you do when you're behind a vehicle that's going slower than the flow of traffic? Now, unnecessary slow driving, what does that mean if you're going less than the normal speed or the flow of traffic? Now, you may be going the speed limit. You actually may be going in excess of the speed limit. But if there's other cars stacking up behind you, you are now the slowest vehicle in that stack.
Right.
And if you're in the far left lane and you're being overtaken, you are required to move to the right. Now, on a multi-lane highway, it is not illegal to pass on a middle lane. In some jurisdictions, you are not allowed to pass a vehicle to the right. Here in Ontario, it still says you can pass vehicles on any lane as long as there's a lane, but it causes confusion, distraction, and really it leads to that perception of road rage and aggressive driving when you have a car threading a needle, weaving through every lane of traffic, because some driver is parked in the left lane there, got their death grip on the steering wheel, or they got their cell phone in their hands because they know if they're in the left lane, no one's going to come from the left, so they can just do their thing and maintain their own pace.
So we're suggesting me to flash your lights prior.
Well, sure. Like, so flash your high beam. Like, so I'm not advocating for this, but you know, flashing your high beams, honking your horn, tailgating, going off the side, putting on your left signal. You know, these people, there's all kinds of different things that people will do. Yes. Or do you just wait patiently, or do you pass on the inside? And you know, there's no clear direction on that, but
no. And in my experience, which is, you know, purely anecdotal, but in my experience, I do a lot of driving, I find that people that do that are kind of oblivious.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what kind of signal, except for, you know, if you're in an OPP cruiser and flick on your lights, that
well,
might get
you
their
know
attention.
What? I've had that experience. I've done a couple of high beam flashes, and it's not ended well because I get brake checked.
Ugh.
Oh my goodness! Or they speed up when there's a gap, and then they slow down when there's traffic.
I guess it's like Brian said. You know, you're making the assumption they actually are paying attention, looking in the mirror rather than being on their phone. But I guess that's not the case.
Some people think they just own that lane, and they're entitled. It's not your job to control the rate of speed. If someone's coming from behind you, let us get them for speeding. Move over, share the road.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got some great advice, and we're here and ready to answer your calls. If you got one, 1-866-740-4740. Again, if you got a question, 1-866-740-4740. Officer Kerry Schmidt is here, and he'll tell you exactly how it is.
Something like that. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Sergeant Kerry Schmidt from the OPP.
Good morning.
Good morning. And speaking of Triangle Tires, again, don't forget to go to DavesCornerGarage.com for your chance to win a set of Triangle Tires and a crown application for your car. And again, best part of the prize is Alan installs your tires personally.
Yes, I'm going to do that. And we have to make sure of the rotation, right?
Yes, of course.
We have to make sure of the tire pressure.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure, we want to talk about it, that the wheel nuts are tight.
Check your nuts. It's so important. Sorry, did I say something wrong?
Hey, we're not told you're on the radio now. We're not doing that TikTok thing. You know, there you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, okay.
All right, go
Am
ahead.
Am I getting bleeped for that?
No.
Oh, boy.
No.
So, do you know what? Yeah, you know, check your nuts. You have to make sure those wheel fasteners are properly installed. Torque wrench. Look at the orange manuals. Now, you know, if it's got to be 80 foot-pounds, 100 foot-pounds, 130. Mm-hmm. You know, every vehicle is different. The types of vehicles. Now, it's best to do that with a torque wrench and make sure you know exactly what's going on. If you're a driveway mechanic doing it yourself, you know, look to make sure that all wheel fasteners are tight, but make sure the wheel itself is properly seated against the hub.
That's the key, because you can reach a proper torque amount with the wheel being cockeyed, you know.
And as soon as you drive, you now lose that clamping pressure.
Exactly.
None of that is good.
Yeah, people don't realize. You see, when you're talking about, because the majority of cars now have alloy wheels on, and they are a much tighter fit, and as they corrode, it's like, again, it's not a floppy fit. Like with a steel wheel, it's the nuts that are centering it. But here, in a lot of cases, it's hub-centric. In other words, the hub has to be clean, and it has to sit down properly. And if not. And we got, studio audience is telling me to stop talking. And
take a call.
We got a caller. Okay, no problem. His name is Stuart. He's calling in from Markham. Stuart, what can we do for you?
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Got a question for Kerry.
Yeah, I do. I would just like to know how a dumb fuck like Kerry, who knows nothing about cars, is in charge of modifying.
Right on.
Yeah.
So, do you know what? We love talking about cars modifications. We talk about mufflers, exhaust, suspension, lights.
We've spoken with Sean Shapiro about this idea of catalytic converters, and all these enthusiasts think that they're bad. But the two race cars that I currently own have two catalytic converters each.
We have to stop this, and I have to say on behalf of the radio station. Yes. His Corner Garage, we do not endorse that kind of language used on the radio.
Yeah. Inappropriate.
So please do not.
That's kind of sad.
Besides, Kerry is way smarter than that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It was funny. I had a really engaging conversation with someone on Messenger the other day, and he was talking about catalytic converters, because I struck a nerve when I was talking about the catalytic converter that was missing when I was looking from the top of the engine. And I got ripped over the coals about that. And so one guy says, like, you don't know kind of what this guy was talking about, and like, okay, we'll connect, we'll engage, and so I sent him a photograph of a vehicle with a catalytic converter right up on top, and it kind of shut him up, and then he changed his tune pretty quickly. So hey, do you know what, I'm doing the best I can, my friend, and I appreciate you actually following along and listening. We can agree to disagree.
Let me stop you. What was his argument?
Well, that kind of what this caller says, that I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, hey, I'm going on the best information that I have. I am not a licensed mechanic. Mm-hmm. I've done training. I've been a CVSA. I've been an inspector.
Right.
Hey, I love cars. I love driving. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing the beauty and the personality that people put in their cars. And if you have a car to show off, I'd love to take a look at it. You know, I get joy looking at these cars. I'm going to be doing a bunch of stuff on the track. And we got some great programs coming up. And if you want to show off your car, hey, come on down. We'll show you what the legislation talks about. If you've gutted your muffler, if you've taken it out, if it's excessive noise, so many pieces of legislation are very subjective by an officer. Mm-hmm. So it may not be too loud for me, but it may be loud for, you know, the next officer down the road. The tint may not be sufficient for me. I may give you a pass, or someone may charge you for having tint.
But there are specific rules about
there
it.
Are, I mean, yep. There are rules.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, I read the legislation, and I know I got haters out there as well. Hey, I'm sorry, buddy, but I hope you're still listening online here, and I think it's pretty cool that we can have these chats.
Do you actually have a tint meter?
I don't, because there is no tint meter specifications. Now, I'll tell you, my vehicle, my police vehicle, from the factory has no tint on it, and I put my side windows on a tint meter that actually Rob Monster, a buddy of mine, who's from the MTO, he put it on, and I was actually about 30% or 28% light restriction from the factory.
Yep.
So if I think I'm allowed to have 30% tint, and I go put 30% on my windows, well, now I'm at 60, and you can't see through that vehicle.
Exactly.
People say it's a cash grab. People say it's just kind of buzzkill for people. You know, if you're a pedestrian and you're crossing the street and there's a car making a right turn and you want to make eye contact and you can't see inside if the vehicle driver's looking at you, you know, there is some public safety, traffic safety issues.
So absolutely.
I saw that yesterday exactly. I live in a busy part of town, and that's exactly what happened. And the window of the vehicle was tinted, and the driver was trying to give the pedestrian instructions and communicate. Couldn't couldn't see. Yep. I could see because I was a different perspective, but that's exactly what was going on. And it was kind of dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've given people a wave by, you know, or not.
What kind of wave, Al?
Oh, all the fingers, not just one.
Yeah.
No, I was going to be a nice guy and let someone in. Well, I can't see if they can see me or not because I can't see them.
Exactly. 100%. So, you know, and that's, that's the challenges. And now, listen, we talk about what's allowed or what's not allowed, what you could be ticketed for. Let me tell you, how many charges of tint are being laid versus how many people getting stopped for, failing to stop at a stop sign, blowing a red light, or speeding?
Yeah.
You know, a quarter million charges sometimes for speeding, and yet, okay, we got a couple hundred or a couple dozen charges for excessive tint. You know, and we get people going off the deep end, talking about how much injustice there is in that. Well, listen, we're going to do what our job requires, and we're going to continue to do our job, and we're going to continue to have these conversations. So, hey, if you want to go at me, let's have a chat. I got no problems, but let's be respectful.
All right, we do have someone else calling in from out of town. They're calling in from Caledon. His name is Zahir. Zahir, you got a question?
Hi, this is for Kerry.
Yep.
Of course, I might have joined late, so I'm not sure if this has already been answered. But my question is regarding the HOV lane. So I
HOV,
heard your video yesterday about driving in the left lane. I agree with that. But I drive with a toddler, and usually I like to drive safe. So I'm in HOV lane. Of course, there is no passing on the crossed lines. At speed, maybe 5 or max 10 over sometimes. But still, I see a lot of people always coming in from behind, flashing in, passing in from like that hard cross line.
Mm-hmm.
Even I have seen people crossing from like the left shoulder, hard shoulder, and honking and swearing and all. Like, what about that?
Do you know what? And that's a really good question because it's a challenge. HOV violations are one of the biggest public complaints we get from people. Now, when you're in a single HOV lane, you are not allowed to cross those double white lines. And if you're going the speed limit, those HOV lanes are there for congestion in backlogs when traffic may be going, 30, 40, 50 kilometers in the through lanes, HOV lane, because there's two people, you can get a bit of a free pass getting through there. It's not the wide open expressway racetrack to go as fast as you want. So I understand what you're saying. There are new HOV lanes where you have these transition zones where there's two lanes where people could pass if they want to. If you don't need to be, if traffic is moving along at the speed limit, you don't necessarily need to be in the HOV lane if there's traffic going beside you. You know, courteous would be move to the right and let that traffic go by. Just like on any lanes, when there's multi lanes, the slower traffic should be to the right. So if you don't need to be in the HOV lane because traffic in all the other lanes is moving along at the capacity and there's traffic going by you in the right lanes, I would get out of the HOV lane because it's there to give you benefit when the congestion is there to allow those kinds of drivers to make their way through traffic.
I guess what could be confusing, though, is Zahir saying if there's a solid line, am I able to cross it?
No, you're not.
Nope.
No, even if a police vehicle comes from behind and you move over across those, you are required to either move to the shoulder or move to the right. But once you're out of that lane, there is no law that says you can move back in just because a police car forced you over to get around it. So now you got to wait for that buffer zone, that transition zone, to get back into that lane. So just keep that in mind. And, again, common sense. You share the road. If you're in the HOV lane and all the lanes are going faster than you, why are you in the HOV lane?
Right.
Let me share something from yesterday evening, very fresh, if I can quickly. So last night there was a little bit foggy and I was going around, it was 7 o'clock, passing 410 through Brampton with my family. And again, I was on the HOV lane. The conditions weren't like very clear, like the visibility. I was going about 108 or 10, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The guy behind me, I think it was a Dodge Challenger or something, he comes in, he's like honking, almost for 2 minutes. he comes really close to like my.
Yeah, Joe, just move over. Let him go by. We don't need that kind of road rage, man. I appreciate you talking about that, but we've got to just have some courtesy around everybody. You're entitled to be in that lane, but you know maybe you don't need to be in that lane.
All right, Zahir, thank you very much for calling in. We do appreciate it. Drive safe. Hopefully you don't get any other crazy people up your butt. That's a horrible.
That's never good.
All right, after the break, we're having who?
We're having Mark Wilkins, professional racing driver. Ooh. And some cool stuff going on. Mark's a fantastic driver, all-around good human being, and we're doing a little bit of a charity event, or he's doing a charity event in January, so we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Looking forward to hearing about
it. And that'll be on a racetrack, Kerry. You don't have to worry.
Hey, can I come?
It won't be on a street.
Yes, you can.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max here in studio with Alan Gelman and OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt.
Hello.
Hello. And we have a pal of mine, professional racing driver and all-around good guy, Mark Wilkins, on the phone with us. Mark, what's going on today?
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
Hey, we're all good. We're all
awesome.
Yeah, we're busy here. It's been a fantastic morning. I wanted to thank you for joining us. And one of the reasons we're having this conversation today, Mark, is because you're doing a cool thing with our friends at HIP Motorsports in Ajax. So they're a racing simulator studio. But what you guys are doing is a charity event that supports the Sick Kids Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the second annual iRacing for the Kids charity pro-am event. It's going to happen January 11th of next year, so coming up. And, you know, last year was a great time. We raised, close to $20,000 for Sick Kids. It's just an opportunity for pro drivers and some, pretty talented handy sim drivers to race with some AMs and raise some money for a great cause. So really excited for that. And the folks at HIP Motorsport have a great spot for that. You can race from home. You can race from their fantastic studio in Ajax. And excited to get back behind the wheel and have some fun for a great cause.
I asked Mark if he was going to, Brian, if he was going to drive. And he said, no, I'd get my ass kicked. And I said, what are you talking about?
And
you're a professional race car driver.
I'm good at the real thing, but I haven't been on a sim very much. So I was out practicing this week at HIP and doing some laps, but I'm too inconsistent to race in that event. So I'll be watching. Now, with respect to real driving, Mark, that's obviously how we know each other. And I don't know if some of our listeners know what you do, but you race for Brian Herta Autosport in Hyundai Elantra N, and it's called a TCR because it's a purpose-built race car. And on top of that, you've got a really cool co-driver.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Robert Wickens is my co-driver. We just finished our first year together. It was my fifth season with Brian Herta Autosport racing Hyundai TCR cars. And what a joy to race with Robert. I mean, just an incredible talent. Great to see him back behind the wheel and of course, right up to speed right away. And if you don't know, Robert drives with hand controls. Throttle, brake, shifting. Yeah. All with his hands, and it's really unbelievable, to be honest. I've tried it. It's very, very difficult, but he's right on pace right away, and we had some great results this year. It was really fun.
Yeah, well, at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park in July, you guys won the race.
Yeah, that was, home soil, after not racing up at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park for a few years, was nice to come back. And, there was a lot to that story. So we won. Robert and his wife, Carly, just had a baby the day before the race. So Robert actually didn't even turn a lap in the car until the pace lap of the race. So he went back to Indianapolis, came back up just in time for the green flag. And I think by the end of his stint was up to P3 and handed it over to me. And I thought, man, that's pretty remarkable. I have to deliver to get a result for this crazy monumental effort that had happened. And, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is my home track. It's a fantastic track, fast, high speed, everywhere. It's, it's a challenge. Anyone who's driven there knows how tricky it is. But I don't know. We just had we just had a great day and everything clicked. And, you know, we came away with the win, and that was a week after we had won at Watkins Glen. So we won two races back to back within a week, and Robbie and Carly had a baby in the middle. So it was a pretty, pretty fantastic week.
I'd pay money to watch the transfer. I mean, from one driver to the other, it must take you quite a while.
No, Mark can explain it, but it's actually done very quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, it is quick. I mean, it has to be, or we're not competitive. It's that simple.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I watched NASCAR, and if they go from a 10-second pit stop to 11-second pit stop, you've lost like 8 positions on the road.
Yeah, exactly. And you just can't have it. So we worked tirelessly at the track and the shop, just trying to fine tune that and get it as quick as possible. And you know, we were fortunate that it takes a little longer to put fuel in the car, and if we have to change tires, it takes a little bit of time to do that. So we have a little bit of time, but a little bit of time equates to about 23 seconds. So it's pretty amazing, but we've got a process that works well, and we worked hard to go back and forth. So I finished a bunch of races, and then we did some work where Robert finished some races, and we're definitely having to hone in on that process a little bit more. But at the end of the year at Road Atlanta, we had a great driver change, and that was to Robert, and so we're getting there. But it's always time is always the most important thing, and if we can focus on that and save a spot or two in the pits, then it's a little less work for us on track.
One of the cool things about what you guys do with Hyundai Motorsports and Brian Herta Autosports is that you really engage the fans. When I joined you guys in at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, we shot a little episode, and the engagement of Hyundai N fans just blew my mind. That's one of the most popular episodes on my channel this year. That we had fun driving cars in the mountains and shooting some stuff, but the engagement was incredible. And you've got a lot of fans out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Hyundai's really come on with their N performance division. So with the Veloster, and then now the Kona and the Elantra that we race in IMSA. But the road car versions are so much fun. In fact, I was just at Toronto Motorsport Park on Thursday. It was such a nice day, obviously, before we kind of switch into winter mode here. But I had to go. I mean, they opened the track, and I thought, it's off season. It's a long off season, and I was feeling a little bit of the need for speed, and so I hopped in the Elantra, drove down to Toronto Motorsport Park, which is a couple hours for me, and spent a couple hours on track just getting that out of my system and having a great time. And you know, the Elantra N road car is really very, very similar to the race car. I mean, it has the same sort of chassis characteristics, and fun to drive factor is just unbelievable. So any opportunity I can to get the road car out there is maybe it's a little bit of you know, extra practice, if you will, while we wait for our season to start at Daytona in January.
Well, we'll see you there, Mark. Thanks very much for joining us, and you're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max. We're here in studio in Liberty Village with Alan Gelman and Sergeant Kerry Schmidt from the OPP. And before we go, have to remind everybody to go to davescornergarage.com for your chance to win a set of Triangle tires and a crown application. And again, Al's going to personally install the tires for you.
I will. And don't forget, if you want to help Mark in their charity event, which money goes to the Hospital for Sick Kids?
It goes to the Sick Kids Foundation, and they're probably going to, you know, they're going to do way more than they, I think they raised about $20,000 last year. They're going to raise a lot more this year. It's, what's the website, Al?
It's Hyundai Motorsport / iRacingForTheKids.com.
Yeah, I think, nice. I think it might be just iRacingForTheKids.com.
Well, you can Google anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Or Hip Motorsports, and you can always give them a call or go to the website.
Speaking of racing, you were putting a video together for your podcast, and a guy blew past you at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I did not plan that, and it could not have been timed any better. I was talking to someone about what they were doing. I just came across an officer doing a speed enforcement on Highway 404. He had just caught a guy doing 169. I pulled up beside him and said, "Hey, would you mind just give me a little clip saying, hey, we're out here doing our job, we're monitoring the rate of speed and the speed limits," and he says, "Don't speed, turns his laser down the road. First click, first car, truck, or whatever it was, a $1.67, and he went after him. Like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know what to do. So, anyways, we were still recording and kind of went live on that, posted it up, and here we go. It's incredible that we got those kinds of speeds. Middle of the day, you know, it wasn't a sports car, racing car. It was just an average work truck, you know, going down the highway. You know, yeesh. Gas pedal's on the right, and if you press it too hard, you're going to find yourself in trouble.
And you're able to catch up to him and pull him over?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the officer did. I was sitting there on the side of the road here. I didn't know what to do. So, anyways, if you watch the video, I had to unclip the little microphone I had on him, and he went over and got the guy stopped. You know, you got to keep an eye on him because he targeted the vehicle, and he was like over half a kilometer away when he got that speed. So it took another 10, 15 seconds for the car to actually get to the location where the officer would pull out and stop the vehicle. At that point, you know, vehicles are all going slow because, hey, you know, I didn't see you. I was only going 100 when I went by you. Yeah, I said, yeah, sure. Well, it doesn't matter. You were doing $1.67, you know, 15 seconds earlier. So.
Was there any reduction or did he whack him for the whole thing?
Yeah, do you know what? I think he got done for speed. So that's actually a stunt driving regulation. So at that point, you're losing your vehicle, you're losing your license, and 14 days for the car, 30 days for your license, and it's not a good day.
No, and you know, here's the thing, Kerry, and you know, as a racing driver, this is one of the things we always talk about. There's a reason why you shouldn't be doing 167 kilometers an hour on public roads. Do it on the racetrack all day long.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was on the racetrack this week. I didn't even look at the speedometer, but I was going as fast as I wanted and having a great time. But on the road, there are so many other vehicles moving at slower speeds. Just the differential alone is problematic. But then when you take into consideration that, you know, some of these vehicles are not meant to stop quickly from 167 kilometers an hour. None of this is good.
No, you know, on a racetrack, you have safety measures, you have monitors in place. Look at the Schumacher crash when he rear-ended his teammate, you know, in the rain because he was going too slow, and or maybe his opponent, whatever it was.
Yes.
But that was years ago. But, you know, there's protections on the track. On the highways, you know, sure, there's guardrails and so on, but there's vehicles of all different shapes, sizes, weights, speeds, and that speed differential is going to cause trouble. And I'll tell you, speeding right now is the number one killer on our highways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we have our officers going to these fatal crashes, serious injury crashes, and we find that speed was the major contributing factor, that's why we're out there doing our job.
And I know, you know, people who oppose this idea of speed limits or think our speed limits are too low. That one of the things they need to realize is that a lot of cars are not meant to crash at those speeds.
Yeah.
This is fundamentally the problem.
Yeah.
So they're meant to crash at normal legal road speeds, and they'll protect you to a certain degree. But when you exceed that, it's not a good idea.
It's not about the car that crashed. Sure, there's crumple zones in the car. Mm-hmm. It's the body inside the car that's going for that ride. So even a small little rigid car, it may survive the crash. Your heart will not survive because, unfortunately, I've been to far too many autopsies and far too many fatal scenes. Your heart will rip off your aorta when you're involved.
No,
so I don't want to get into graphic things here, but like, listen, you know, your car may survive, but you may not. You're going to have a head injury, brain injury, or internal injuries. It's catastrophic. And the faster you go, well, I guess, in the Delta V, which is the quicker you come to a stop, the more likely you are to be injured.
And people drive without seatbelts too, eh?
Well,
still.
That's one of the big four. Seatbelts.
I'm amazed.
Yeah, wow. I know.
Do they just equipment. Continue to listen to the beep, 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 or please put on your seatbelt?
I saw a guy recently sitting on his seatbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had it plugged in, obviously, so the car's not beeping at him.
Right.
But he sat on his seatbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, mind you, I guess a lot of times it can be backseat passengers too, eh?
Yeah, they may not have warnings on that,
right.
And they're going to get—they feel all cocooned in the back seat. But you know, you get into a Walden crash, and I've seen ejections, and these passengers come flying right through the windshield. Mm. And again, not a good day. They will actually squeeze through the sunroof or the side window.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
You may not think you can get through there. Well, when you're doing 100 kilometers per hour rolling through a ditch, doesn't matter. Your body's is going to get out of a pretty small spot.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. I've seen pictures after the fact, you know, and you're looking in the car and saying it's not that bad. Well, it wasn't that bad, except the buddy inside didn't have his belt on.
Yeah. You know what? Survivable. If you can't just depend on your airbags or your crumple zones or your safety systems or whatever. Put that seatbelt on. It's going to keep you in that seating position, and it's not going to trap you. It's not going to, you know, prevent you from escaping a vehicle that's on fire or wherever. I've never seen a seatbelt be the reason the person is dead.
Right.
So and let's, you brought up earlier, it's the time of year where people are changing their wheels.
Yeah.
Make sure they're done by, if not by a professional, if you're doing it yourself, make sure after you've driven it for a couple days, bring it back into the garage or into the driveway and check the wheel nuts, make sure they're tight.
Check your nuts,
because
absolutely.
So we don't want to see a bouncing tire go
across
the highway.
We had another wheel
off
this morning. Again, this is the time we see a spike in wheel separations.
Kerry, thank you very much for joining
us. Hey, it's been my pleasure. Yeah. Awesome. You guys
great
are great
to have you. Thank
and
you.
If people see something stupid going on, what is it? Star OPP?
Star OPP. Calls anytime. Yep.
But I want Kerry specifically. Can I?
Not everybody does.
wait, hang on. I'll give him yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, please drive safe. We always tell people to do that. Want to thank our guests again, Brian, Kerry. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And Carlos for keeping the wheels on. We'll have to check the torque on the wheels after the show, though. All right. And our studio audience, say hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Right on.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.